Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, I'd like to introduce you to a new podcast that I know you're going to love. Do you like travel? Do you like picturesque locations and getting away from it all? Well, this new podcast has all that and murder. It's called Slaycation, and it's a darkly humorous look at murders and mysterious deaths that took place on vacation. Hosted by a true crime fanatic, her comedy writer husband, and his TV producing partner, Slaycation brings a unique perspective to chilling, thrilling, and WTF stories of vacations gone horribly wrong. From the twisted tale of Harold and Tony Henthorne, whose romantic anniversary in the Rocky Mountains ended with one of them falling off a cliff, to Angelica and Vincent, two recently engaged lovebirds whose Hudson Valley kayaking adventure ended underwater. Each episode of Slaycation will have you asking, accident or murder? But it's not just the stories that'll intrigue you. It's the discussion between a longtime married couple and business partners who happen to be Emmy-nominated TV producers. Each episode of Slaycation also includes humor, takeaway and travel tips that will keep your next vacation from being your last. If you're ready to pack your body bags, Slaycation is available on all major podcast platforms. Search for Slaycation on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's two stories come from a couple of fans of the channel who reached out to me, letting me know they'd like to see them covered, and so, happy to do it. The first tale is of a larger-than-life sheriff from Tennessee whose wife was murdered in front of him, and now her body is being exhumed in order to be re-examined. The second one covers the story of a missing girl, Darlene Tilly, down in North Carolina, where the townsfolk are demanding answers, and so hopefully we can bring awareness to her case. Get rid of scary mysteries, twisted news. Number 1. The Ambush of Pauline Pusser. Recently, down at the Adamsville Cemetery in Tennessee, an unexpected operation took place that had the townsfolk wondering what exactly was going on. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, following a recent tip that gave new life into a famous cold case, was exhuming the body of Pauline Pusser. More than 50 years after her death, this act was a bold statement of intent. The authorities were not yet ready to close the book on her case. Pauline's death on August 12th of 1967 was a pivotal moment in local history. Early that morning, she was riding along to a call with her husband, McNairy County Sheriff Buford Pusser, when shots rang out on an isolated county road. Buford would call for help, and when deputies arrived, they found Pauline dead with her laying in Buford's lap. The sheriff, who survived the attack, albeit with serious injuries, would go on to become a figure of towering significance in the fight against organized crime in the area. Buford was sheriff of McNairy County from 1964 to 1970. He was a big boy, stood 6'6". He got the nickname Buford the Bull back from his earlier wrestling days. This guy didn't mess around and essentially became a one-man army against organized crime like the Dixie Mafia, gambling, and prostitution, and so anyone who made money off those things didn't like him all that much. He would go on to have several assassination attempts. In his life, he had been stabbed 7 times and shot 8 times, and killed 2 men in self-defense. Just a few months prior to his wife's murder, in the latest try, Buford was shot 3 times, but was back on his feet and working shortly after. On that August 12th morning, Pusser was responding to a call about a disturbance on New Hope Road. While headed out there, he and his wife were ambushed by a fast-moving vehicle that rolled up beside them and opened fire. He was hit 3 times, including once to the jaw, and in total, 14 shots were fired when the couple was left for dead. Buford spent 18 days in the hospital and needed multiple surgeries to help restore his appearance. And though he vowed to bring his wife's killer to justice, that never happened and ultimately passed away in 1974 at the age of 36 when his car crashed. His story, though, would go on to inspire the films Walking Tall, both the original and the 2004 remake that starred The Rock. Because of his courage and seemingly indestructible nature, the townsfolk have never forgotten what he did for them. This decision to exhume Pauline's body was not made lightly. It came after the revelation that no autopsy had been performed at the time of her death, a startling omission that needed to be looked into. With the blessing of Pauline's family and in consultation with the judicial authorities, the TBI embarked on this quest for truth, hoping to uncover evidence that could point to the perpetrator or perpetrators. As the investigation into Pauline's death enters a new phase, the focus turns to forensic analysis, with experts examining the trajectory of the bullets that ended her life. And the hope is that modern forensic techniques can shed light on details overlooked in the initial investigation, providing clues that could lead to a final breakthrough. Number 2. Darlene Tilley's Cold Case. Information regarding Darlene Tilley's case is hard to come by, but an avid watcher of the channel who wrote me a few times about it convinced me to dig in to see what I could find, as this story is the coldest case in Durham County, North Carolina's history. Back in September of 1980, 13-year-old Darlene was at her best friend Tammy Carden's house on Glen School Road near Interstate 85. They played some softball that day. When it came time for Darlene to head home, Tammy offered to walk with her, but she declined, saying, "No, I'm okay, I'll walk alone." That was the last thing they ever said to one another. Darlene never made it home that day. Despite serious search efforts from local authorities and the community in the days that followed, they couldn't find anything. And then, 2 months later, and around 4 miles from her friend's house, a pair of hunters stumbled upon her remains near Red Mill Road. The autopsy showed she had been murdered. She had several stab wounds, as well as blunt force trauma, but still, there seemed to be no leads. Not long after that, the case went completely cold. But those who live in the area and knew of Darlene have always speculated on the case, talking over drinks about the stories they've heard and possible suspects. And Tammy, who said she thinks about her friend every single day, pushed for the case to be re-examined in 2019, and the authorities decided to do so. Captain Jimmy Butler of the Durham County Sheriff's Office announced a bold initiative. The case would be reopened, investigated anew as if it had just occurred. The decision to re-examine every detail, to re-interview every potential witness, signifies a renewed hope that advancements in forensic science and fresh eyes on the case might finally unravel the mystery of Darlene's death. Also in 2019, a man named Robert Atkins, who was 60 years old by that time, was arrested and charged with the assault and murder of 14-year-old Rhonda Blaylock. That happened back in August of 1980 in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And this was just a few weeks before Darlene and about an hour's drive away. For Rhonda, she was last seen outside a bowling alley where she got into a car with her friend from a man offering a ride. And that friend was dropped off safe and sound and without issue, but Rhonda wasn't so lucky. 3 days later, her body would be found half naked in the woods near Pilot Mountain. She too had been stabbed to death, and her and Darlene looked very much alike with their thin frames and short brown hair. This is why so many in town speculate that perhaps Robert may have been the perpetrator in Darlene's case, although, as of right now, that remains inconclusive. In Rhonda's case, even though they had the make and model of the perpetrator's car and even a description of him, it still took until 2015 for a task force dedicated specifically to the case to come in and try new DNA technology tests, as well as conduct various interviews with old eyewitnesses and Robert himself to nail him down. Hopefully, in Durham, police are able to navigate the unsolved case of Darlene Tilley and bring her killer to justice. If you have any information, no matter how insignificant it may seem, you're urged to call DSCO at 919-560-0880. In the memory of Darlene, and for the sake of the community still seeking answers, it's time to solve her case. So there were two cases brought to you by you. I'm Andrew, and I want to thank you for tuning in. If you like listening to us and want to get an additional exclusive podcast episode each and every week from us sent your way, go check us out on Patreon, where now you can get the audio exclusive versions for just 75 cents per episode. It's free to try, so check it out in the link below. Thanks again for the suggestions, friends. I'll see you all in the next one.